Hey folks, welcome everybody. Susan Baracco here. Welcome to the coaching call for B2B Launcher Program. Glad you're able to join us. Hey Nadine, good to see you. Glad you're here today. Feel free to type in the chat and say hello. That way I know that you can hear me. I think everything's working okay, but just like to make sure. And I have a just for fun question while we're waiting for more folks to show up. Hey, Nadine, thanks for that. And this was kind of a fun question, interesting question, but I'm wondering if there's a word that you would hope people would use to describe you. It's kind of an interesting thing to ponder. Now we'll wait just a few minutes, just another moment or two, see if we have more folks joining us. All right, we're just a minute or so after the top of the hour, so I'm gonna kind of jump in. And Nadine says, trusted, trustworthy, absolutely. All right, and I think my word is integrity. I hope when people think of me, they think of someone with integrity. That would be my hope. All right. So Nadine, I'd love to hear from you. If you have a win to share since the last time we were together, not sure if you were on the call last time, but can be big or small, doesn't matter. If it's something simple, a win is a win and we love to celebrate. I'd like to start out the call by celebrating a little bit with people. If they've made some progress and have some accomplishment that they'd like to share. Would love to hear that. Anything that you accomplished. Any kind of a win, big or small, feel free. Hey, Nadine, thanks for responding. She said making it to the call this week after needing to be away for the last few. Absolutely. These are tough. Sometimes a lot of folks that come through this program are work full-time and are trying to start their writing business on the side. And it can be a real challenge. And that's part of why we record them and put the replays up for people to listen to if they want. Encouraging people, if you're listening to this replay, as a matter of fact, when it gets posted, encouraging you to submit a question. If you can't be here on the call live, to submit the question ahead of time on the calls page, on the live calls page in the portal when you log in. There's a spot there. There's a place where you can type in or cut and paste your question in. And as long as you do it about, I think it's like an hour and a half or 2 hours ahead of the call time, I'll read it and address it for you, even if you're not here. So, hey, Chris, welcome. Glad you came. Glad you joined us. We're just getting started. Starting with sharing a win, big or small. If you have something to share with us, please do. Got a very small group today, so feel free to, I want to encourage you to be participate today. Don't be shy. Awesome. Any other wins? Chris, I don't know if you're just getting settled, but feel free to share a win if you've got one for since the last time we got together. It's been a couple of weeks. All right. I am going to jump into the question segment of the call. There's only a couple of you on the call today, so this may be a shorter call, but I want to encourage you to ask away today and keep your question focused. One question per person, although today that doesn't necessarily matter. We've got a small group, and let me know if you're available to come on and actually chat. Oftentimes, typing your question in the chat can be limiting. So I usually have additional questions and look for additional detail and background so that we can work together to get your questions answered. Hey, Chris, thank you. His win for today is actually worth his day job. I have mastered flow charting in Visio. And that's not an easy task. That can be a pretty complex tool. So good for you. Good for you. That's awesome. Awesome, awesome. So dive right in, folks. Any questions that you might have? And if you don't have one, if either of you don't have anything specific, I would love to hear about what has been the most challenging part of this program so far for you. And so was it, and I don't know, let me know how far along you are in the program, if you're session 1, 2, 3, et cetera. And what's been the most challenging? What did you find really made you think differently, maybe got you outside your comfort zone? Something that was probably the hardest. There's a lot of things that can be challenging in this course, even though it's kind of a rapid fire and keeps you moving right along week to week. There's a lot to think about. Chris says, is it okay to post article links in the Facebook group? Actually, Chris, it is if it's a share for maybe a resource for others in the group that might be helpful. That's perfectly acceptable. If you're looking for feedback on an article that you wrote, it would be best to post it in the Q&A so that it's clear what that's for. If you're looking for my feedback or Ed's feedback on something, that's where that would go. So yes, it's okay to post links. Sometimes people do if they found a cool new gadget or a tool that they think others would find helpful, they'll share a link to that. To that kind of a resource. But if you're looking for some feedback in particular, post it in the Q&A thread, and that way we'll be sure not to miss it and hopefully be able to help you out. All right, and Chris, hey, just reading your follow-up, but you got no responses. The webinar on using Story in B2B marketing hosted this week for marketing professionals was excellent. A lot of times people don't respond. That's not uncommon. I see that you're basically saying you didn't get any responses just as a resource. And marketing professionals is... The marketing pros are great. It's a great organization. They do some really helpful stuff. So thank you for sharing that. But it's not uncommon for people to not respond to a post, even if you put it in. So what happens too, I think, is that the people in the Facebook group are similar to you. But oftentimes, they're somewhere within the confines of this program, right? They're either getting started or maybe they're, towards the end of the program. And not everything is interesting to people at the same time. So if I'm earlier in the program, that might be something I'm really not that interested in, or, you know, it's, it may be too far off topic. Maybe I just want to focus on getting my business off the ground. So yeah, certainly don't take it personally, but I'm glad that you posted it. Not a problem, never a problem to share good resources with people in the group. And they may have seen it. People may have seen it and read it, but it doesn't surprise me that we don't get a lot of feedback. I always encourage people on this call as well to not just come to the call or submit a question ahead of time if you can't be here, but to be active on the Facebook group. And that can be a challenge as well for some folks. But you know, sharing information, asking questions, asking for support in between these calls in the Facebook group is such a great tool. It's such an extra added benefit for this program to be able to get live feedback and almost live. It's not always immediate. Sometimes I check the Facebook group every day. Ed is in there pretty much every day, or at least a couple days a week, checking and answering questions. So I really strongly urge people to pay attention to the group and definitely, you know, take advantage of each other's feedback and input, as well as the support that you get from Ed's team. I'm just looking at your follow-up. One great area about posting a resource from someone who may be considered a competitor for Ed, for example, doubleyourfreelancing.com articles, okay? That's a tough question. I would recommend, and I can't honestly answer that off the top of my head, I would run it by, if you have a question about something, just send the link to support@b2blauncher.com and ask if it's something that is acceptable to post. And appreciate you being thoughtful and mindful of that. But they would be the best ones to direct you in terms of if it's something you're not quite sure about. Like marketing profs, not a competitor at all. They do entirely different work. Very very much an art. You know, those types of resources you can share. But if it's something that you think might be, I would recommend just send it into the support folks. Crystal and her team will get back to you very quickly and just say, yeah, go ahead, or, you know, give you some guidance there, just so that you're safe. And appreciate the mindfulness about that. So thank you. Yeah, definitely. They're always the best place to go to for logistical questions like that about how do I do this, or what happens if I do, you know, it just those kinds of things in and around the program. They're the best resource for those kinds of questions. So you're very welcome. Yeah, I definitely want to encourage you. If there's questions, if there's something you'd like to chat about, I can bring you on, unmute you if you'd like to chat. Hey, Sam, didn't see you sneak on there. Welcome. Glad you're here. We have a fairly small group today, but that means we have plenty of time to get your questions answered. And as I mentioned, if you don't have a specific question, I would love to hear what's been most challenging for you so far in the program. So as you've been going through the modules, the different sessions, is there a particular task that you found challenging? Is there a concept that maybe, you know, you found, again, challenging? Sometimes people come into this program and they think, gosh, that doesn't seem like it's going to work. You know, there might be some part of it that's like, oh, that doesn't make sense to me. That doesn't seem like it's going to work. So that is definitely something that I hear from people, and it's not until they take a step forward and actually try it and put it into practice that they begin to understand. So if there's anything like that just, you know, kind of threw you off or made you was particularly difficult to move through, no matter where you are in the program, I would love to hear about it. Again, I would I'm just looking at your follow-up in the chat. If we have blog post ideas for Ed, what's the best way to reach out to him? I would definitely send that to support as well. That would be the best way to get in touch with him. You could also put it in the Q&A, honestly, and tag him. You could try that. That would be a good way to touch base with him. Just say, hey, even asking the question, do you have a blog post already? Because there's a lot of interesting things. He's got quite a library of blog posts. So make sure that you scan that and search just to see if it's something he may have addressed already. If it's a newer concept, definitely you can put it in the Facebook group and just tag him and say, hey, would love to hear your thoughts on this particular subject as it pertains to us as writers, as freelancers, that kind of thing. Either direction would be good. But he might be able to get back to you. I know he's pretty good about getting back in regards to the Facebook group. So, if you tag him and say, hey, Ed, I'd love to hear your thoughts on this particular topic do you have a blog already, or is that something you consider writing, an article about? All right. Good. All right, so questions. Anybody have questions? A quiet group today. Very quiet group today. Would love to hear if you've got any sticking points so far. Like I mentioned, if you would just answer the question for me, is what was the most challenging part of the B2B Launcher program to this point? Was there anything that you really struggled with or took you out of your comfort zone? Would love to hear about that. The other thing too is if you are hoping that you get the articles that Ed does post on a weekly basis, I think they come in Sunday or can't remember when they come out via email. But if you have the time, you can spare the few minutes to even read through the transcript of his podcasts. He's got some great topics. I like to read those every week just to. There's always great ideas in there in terms of different ways to think about building your business and running your business, dealing with clients as you get closer to that. I'd love to hear where, if you would, just tell me where you are in the program right now. If you're fairly new, that would help me to know. If you're still in session one or session two, maybe the first half of the program, would love to have you just type in the chat. Let me know where you are in the program so we can maybe dive into a particular topic if there's one of interest for all of you. Great. Thank you for addressing that. He said that the most challenging in the B2B Launcher program so far is coming up with the right mix in the positioning statement, bridging past experience and new copywriting skills. Very true. Thanks for sharing that. I think what's interesting is that about the positioning is it's so hard to know how to do that. You used a perfect term of bridging experience with with copywriting skills, I think a lot of people are coming out of perhaps never having done any formal writing before, or also looking to transition from a former industry into a new industry. Maybe a lot of folks come into this, they're kind of burned out, they want to, you know, change things up and start writing for a completely different category or industry. So it can be challenging to bridge those two. I absolutely understand. I think the one thing I like to say in regards to that with writing skills is a lot of times when folks come through this program, there's, you know, geez, I don't really have any samples. I've never really written for anyone before. I think that if you're naturally a good writer, if you have a comfort level with writing already, one thing to think about and keep in mind is that you're probably a better writer than, I'll say, like 90% of the people out there. And I have said this before, and I mean no disrespect to anyone, but when you read emails that you get back from someone, or if you read social media posts and how painfully they're written, sometimes they're hard to read. Sometimes you're reading something, you've got to read it two or three times because you're not quite sure what they're trying to communicate to you, what the point is, what the issue, you know, what's the main point you want me to take away from what you're saying. I think if I sit back and I think about the number of times that I get communication from people, it's incredible. There's, you know, people really need writers because it's, some people can write a sentence, but to really craft a sentence, to really craft something that's powerful and effective from a marketing perspective, it's a whole different story. So understanding that is definitely something that's a plus, and understanding how to do that. Right. And Nadine says, hasn't hit any real stumbling blocks just yet, any big challenges, but still only in the middle of module two. And we're working to push through as I'm still working through some other non-course related issues. Oh, stay on track. You know, small steps, Nadine, are still steps. So work at your own pace. That's the other thing that's nice about this program. You know, we try to get people to go through and inside of that 9 to 10 week window, but there's some flexibility there, so good for you. Hey, Chris, thanks for the question. While our focus is clearly B2B, has that ever addressed the need to understand B2C content writing, copywriting, if our client's business is both B2B and B2C? That's interesting. Interesting. That's an interesting question. Hold on, and I'm going to just love to hear about the, I'm hoping you can unmute, because I'd love to just hear a little bit of background about that client.
Hi there, sure.
Hey, Chris.
Hi there.
So tell me a little bit about both. That's really interesting. What kind of is it product or service?
Well, I'm thinking service. There's a interesting spectrum or range about because clearly if we've been through any of the EWAI courses, there's a majority of the training is about B2C,
right?
Well, there are, you know, some great B2B things. I think for a lot of copywriting / content writing, which overlap but are definitely very different.
Yes.
With the percentage of focus on persuasion being the difference. So I'm thinking that I'll give an example. Some, like, I'm focusing on SaaS companies.
Yep.
Right.
Okay.
Now, it's interesting because info pros, they, you know, states right in their charter, we are focusing on enterprise B2B. And actually an article that if it hasn't been written, I'm going to write it myself. I want to explore the whole idea about, you know, sure, the big players like Salesforce.com, et cetera, are B2B enterprise level, but there are some SaaS products that aim for the other group, catering to the very small businesses, the solopreneurs, et cetera. And while that group gets no respect and no focus from the enterprise folks, I have to think that there are a lot of SaaS companies that have dual strategies. Like how does their tool or service, their web service, how can it be utilized by the big enterprise players and a whole separate group that may actually it's an opportunity for a lot of new business. So I'm just wondering about that question about, you know, because then the B2C, even though it's technically B2B, if you're talking to a solopreneur such as myself, B2C kinds of communication seem to be indicated.
Right. Yep. No, I understand. I think, you know, one of the things that occurs to me as you were explaining that is that they may have a product that or a service that could be sold to either directly to another business or to a consumer, but typically it's a slightly different offering. And I think that they address them slightly differently. You know, as you're saying, you know, one is more, drawing a blank on the term that you use, but one is more, it's just a different language and a different approach to a business customer than it is to an individual. So, and I think you hit the nail on the head too, as far as like B2B versus B2C. So Ed's background and his experience is all in B2B. And that's part of why he focuses on that. And the other thing too, is that, you know, for him, it's teaching you how to approach and land B2B clients. And, now, that's not to say that people don't come through this program and end up writing for B2C companies that are selling products and services to a consumer level. Happens all the time. And there's always overlap there. That's not uncommon. But I think that, you know, Ed's focus has always been B2B, knowing that there's a lot of, especially with his partnership in some cases with AWAI. He does a lot of work with them. And
oh, I didn't know that. Wow.
Yeah. So he's partners with them in a couple of different ways and has for years. As a matter of fact, that's how I met him many years ago. We both were at the AWAI event down in Florida and
the boot camp
and he was speaking and leading a workshop, and so I got a chance to meet him, and that's how we connected many years ago. So that being said, so he's basically saying, you know, I'm leaving that expertise to you, and I'll and he doesn't really teach copywriting itself either, and I think that's the distinction too, is
right.
That, you know, he's trying to help folks like you and everyone that comes through this program is really, how do you build a freelance business? And so part of that is then, how do you approach the client? How do you approach a marketing manager or someone that might be able to hire you? I think that, he's just not interested in and doesn't find that that's his expertise. So it's, you know, B2B is where the most experience is, but that doesn't mean that you can't go back and take that same type of an approach. So you might be targeting companies that sell to consumers. So it's the same approach in terms of reaching out to these, you know, doing the warm emails and trying to make connections and networking and things like that. A lot of the process is the same in terms of reaching out and connecting with these companies. So you might be working, and I know there's a bunch of companies that AWAI talks about, a couple of industries that they talk about. Investment is one, big companies selling to individuals, you know, trying to target individuals, things like that. So there's financial you know, financial industry is just one of the major ones that I can think of. And I think there's a healthcare, there's a like supplements and things like that, different companies that produce those types of products. Huge need, but they're huge companies. They're just selling to individuals and marketing to individuals. So yes, there's definitely some overlap, but that's primarily why he doesn't spend a lot of time focusing on B2C.
Well, there is definitely something I'd like to add, if I may.
Sure.
I have happened to get an email from AI about Ed's old writing partner, Steve Slonwhite, who's just a master
yes.
B2B copywriter. And so I think it's fair for he was actually Ed's writing partner. So that's
right.
Yeah, you know. Anyway, but he in his training, and I'm still going through it, he talks about not just the business case in the copy, but the person. So that's why it's see, this is where it's B2C territory, because let's say my target is marketing directors, marketing managers, right? So there's sort of two separate appeals, right? One is how to make your work easier, right? How to make your offering easier, how to position, how I can help you position the company from a marketing standpoint, but also as an individual, that's where the B2C comes in.
Yes.
You know, that's the point I'm trying to make, that others, that person is still a person.
Right.
You see, that's what I'm trying to, so in a way, the B2C chops are still relevant as applied to our marketing, our reach out, our prospecting.
Absolutely.
And that is dead center to what Ed is talking about.
Right. No, and I agree. I understand now what you mean. I agree that I took many AWAI writing courses over the course of my career, and so grateful. Even though I don't do that kind of writing anymore, I definitely learned a ton from those programs in terms of how to really speak to your audience. And so I agree with you there. I think that's still the technique is definitely something that you can utilize when you're reaching out to a marketing director or so, you know, maybe a VP level. It doesn't matter who you're calling on, but using those same tactics is absolutely, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, he's just always had that singular focus of B2B. But if you look at some of the things he recommends, you're going to see that crossover.
Right.
In the templates.
Exactly. All I'm saying is, I really think that the origin of that content that Ed wisely teaches is really more the flavor of it, is more B2C. That's all I'm saying.
Yes. Yep. I agree.
Cool.
Okay. I agree.
I wasn't sure how that would be perceived by other folks out there. So that's interesting. Yeah.
No, I think it is. And it's amazing sometimes when I see, because I do the website reviews for folks, and sometimes I see people talking a lot about themselves a little bit too much in the web copy. And I always kind of bring them back to say, you know, this is actually still kind of B2C. And I don't use that term, but it is like, it's all about them. Like, what do they care about? What do they need? What are they looking for when you're writing your web copy? Because, and that's a concept that I bring from my AWAI training of how to talk with and how to appeal to that one person that you're trying to connect with, that one prospect.
Exactly. So I think Ed touches on this. I can't remember where I saw it exactly, but identifying that individual's pain points and frustrations.
For sure, yes.
And then appealing to that along with the business value.
Correct.
That you're bringing. It's like, hey, I'm going to help you. I'm going to make your life easier. I'm going to make you look good. In fact, that's a point that Steve Slonwhite brings up. I'm going to make you, the person, look good.
Absolutely. I'm going to make your life easier. Yeah. And that's exactly, you're talking to a pain point. You know, it's the same concept as a B2C is, okay, these people have pain. There's something that they want very badly. It might be something like losing weight is always the example that they use. It's, oh, geez, they've been wanting or trying so hard to lose weight. How do you then talk to them in a way that they believe, wow, this is the program for me. This is what I want, you know, and it's the same. So you're instead trying to get them to read the copy and think, wow, this is the writer for me. I got to call this person.
Yeah.
They're going to know what exactly how to take care of me and take care of my needs. So same, exact same same thought process and same approach. So yeah, I agree.
Okay. I just want to make sure I'm not way off in a limb somewhere out on the.
No. It's a blend. You know, it's definitely a blend, but you just wouldn't craft it the same way, you know, as to an individual. You're kind of bringing it just a slightly different approach in terms of, I'm not trying to solve your weight loss problem or your very personal problem. I'm trying to solve your professional problem or your business pain. We're trying to resolve your business pains as opposed to your personal ones. So I guess that might be the slight difference, subtle difference.
You know, I think a related topic that's really, really critical is tone.
Yes.
Because depending on the size of the enterprise that individual's in, you know, and also the culture really, so I'm sort of thinking out loud here, I guess it helps to kind of like go to that company's website and engage what the culture of that company is. So even if they're a giant enterprise like Salesforce, what if they have a very casual, relaxed culture in their company? So it would be appropriate then to use that kind of tone in your approach as you reach out to that, you know,
a
VP at that company, right?
Absolutely. And you know what?
Okay.
A great place to look for that kind of information is Glassdoor. Familiar with that?
I am.
So people your actual employees are rating the CEO, or they're making comments about things like culture. And that's fascinating. I've been doing a lot of it. My daughter's, you know, in the process of applying for new jobs. She's kind of looking around. And so we talk a lot about Glassdoor, but it's, you know, you think about, wow, that's a great place to get a little inside peek at what's going on in these companies.
That's a great suggestion. Also, a place I've noticed that is a little bit counterintuitive is a lot of, at the bottom of the website, they'll often have, you know, come work for us. And when they explain what it's like to work for them, they, at that point, they bring in things about, you know, company culture and that sort of thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The other thing too is to see both their blog, if they have a blog or a news page on their website, or check their LinkedIn news feed to see what kind of things they're posting. Like, what, you know, are they still doing? A lot of companies are still trying to keep their employees engaged with different, you know, with different things. So that's a great place to go and get information too. Kind of get a sense of, okay, are they super, you know, what are they like? What is this company like? So.
Well, I'm curious, just to follow up on that, if I may, I believe you said that the prevailing wisdom is that LinkedIn groups have really fallen out of fashion.
Kind of, yeah, unfortunately.
And so if that's true, how does that work in LinkedIn about, like when you say their feed, how does that work? Do you mean if I were to follow their company?
Exactly so. Yep. So go and find the LinkedIn page.
Okay.
And it's the corporate page, and see what kinds of things.
News
that they share on their homepage, on their actual website, would probably be replicated there. So if you follow them on LinkedIn and follow their actual page, any kind of big promotions, big hires, like if somebody, you know, in the senior management gets promoted, that gets posted there. If they have a fundraising event or some kind of a, you know, that kind of thing, all of the things that they're involved in, they like to, that's where they showcase those things. And that's where you can learn a little bit more.
So forgive me because I haven't yet gotten to your LinkedIn module that you created. I'm really looking forward to that a lot when I get there, but, and you may cover that in the training there. But question about, so if I identify, let's say I just take a look at the category of company I'm going, you know, I'm reaching out to. In my case, it's, at least it, so far, SaaS. So let's say I were to identify, I would just poke around out there, I get a list of a lot of the companies, see who the players are, and then individually tag those, probably not too many because it'd be pretty noisy, but let's say up to maybe 10 or 20 of those companies in LinkedIn.
Yes.
So then I'm seeing, I can look for maybe trends and topics or...
For sure. Yes, absolutely.
Has that strategy been brought up in your and Ed's training?
Not in the one that I do. Not in the LinkedIn one that's out there.
Okay.
It's a little bit more basic, because that would be. But that's a great suggestion. As a matter of fact, the LinkedIn now has, you can actually ask to follow specific hashtags almost. So anything that's tagged as SaaS, for example, you could follow that hashtag and that would change what comes into your newsfeed. So
very interesting. So where would you, I haven't been there lately, so I know their UI is constantly changing.
Oh, it is. It's to a point of, because I, you know, the 10 minutes after I did that recording, it was out of date because they made changes. You know, it's just.
Sure.
So, and that's why I kind of kept it really basic, because I wanted it to last as long and be as relevant as possible.
Sure, of course, of course.
There's definitely a way to do that. And I'm thinking something is telling me that, like, on the left-hand margin, there's places where you can go and actually put that. Cause I've seen that somebody else just started doing that. And that's part of why I suggested it is, you can follow particular topics and that helps.
That is very, very major. I'll tell you what, I'm going to do, I'm going to put a post together and I'm going to post it as encapsulating what we just talked about.
Sure.
Because I think the group would really,
yeah,
like definitely. I would have really appreciated that idea myself, you know?
Definitely. So if you're looking at, you know, maybe leadership, maybe you're following that, or a specific industry like you with SaaS or anything on there, it helps to bring those types of things into your feed. And that's kind of cool. So that's a reasonably new development, I believe. I think that's, I'm saying, like, within the last few months, maybe this year. So, and on LinkedIn.
Right. Well, I got a lot of ideas too from the professional association approach.
Yes.
Because I found there's some group magazines, publications, blogs.
Yes.
That's sort of like baseline research, kind of like, what's the climate like in that space?
Exactly.
You know,
yep.
To get the lay of the land. So, the whole topic of research to me though is a potential quagmire.
Yeah.
It's so easy just to fall into a endless abyss because it's frankly endlessly interesting to keep looking and looking. Pretty soon you're just, all you're doing is researching. And that's a real, I'll be very frank, that's really a problem I have, is to not get swept away by research.
It could be a time waster for sure, because the next thing you know, it's an hour and a half has passed and you're like, oh no, and what did I accomplish? I find that you can follow that same rabbit trail and get really, really lost, and time tends to go by. So I absolutely hear you. And that's something that Ed and I were talking the other day about someone that's discovered some new ways to use LinkedIn, and we're looking at, he's looking at bringing up, doing an article on that to share some of those tips. So you'll be seeing some of that coming soon. But for what I was talking about with the hashtag is go on and look to see.
That's fabulous.
Where you might be able to indicate that. I know I've done it before. It's just what topics are you most interested in? And then they send you that information. Like, you know, I have a target audience too. So I make sure it's things that would be marketing, might be one, digital marketing, those types of things. Again, they would send you more information about that.
Right. One last quick thing about LinkedIn. What's really fascinating to me, even though most people are more and more consumers of content on a mobile device.
Yes.
The interface on LinkedIn is so different on a mobile device.
Yeah.
And you really, I have a hunch that for the consumers of LinkedIn, that may be an exception, that you sort of need the bigger screen real estate to see all the things that are there.
I agree.
Okay.
App, so I have the app on my phone, and yeah, the app is such a different layout. It's much more limited. But I don't, I only use the app for things like connection. You know, I'll look someone up if I'm at a, in the good old days when we used to go out and meet, if I met somebody at a networking event, I'd look them up while I was standing there and say, hey, I'm going to send you a connection request so we can connect. That kind of thing. You know, I'll look.
Okay.
And also for just to like a post or to make a quick comment on a post that someone shared, that kind of thing. But I do all of my heavy lifting, if you will, on my desktop. Have to. It's just much, much easier.
Right. Thank you for that. Some really good points. I didn't know about, especially the hashtag. That is so interesting. I did not know that for LinkedIn.
Definitely. Okay. Awesome. Well, good. Well, thank you. Thanks for coming on and chatting. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Awesome. All right. Well, Sam had to go. Hold on. Let me just, so he scooted out early. Let me just catch up. So we are going to, I'm going to jump to this last slide, but that doesn't mean we can't continue to talk and take questions. Nadine, if you have anything in particular that you're interested in hearing about, certainly let me know. In the meantime, if you would, if either of you would just share with me what it is that you're going to be taking action on in the next week or so, in the coming weeks. Doesn't have to be anything we talked about today, just anything that you're planning on focusing on in the next week, I'd love to hear about. So, and if you have any other specific questions or any other topic you'd like to chat about. Quiet group today, but that's okay. So anything you'll be taking action on that you want to share this week, I'd love to hear about. The next, well, today's Thursday, but in the next week or so, that would be great. Nadine, thanks so much. She says her goal is to complete module 2. I'm already working on my LinkedIn profile. I already had a basic website, but we'll be working on updating it. Great. Great, great. Chris says this coming week, he's going to refocus his attention on modules 1 through 3. Now that the day job pressures have subsided. Great. Good for you. Good for you. It is nice to have the time to go back and kind of take a second look at those. The early modules are such foundation laying, the first couple, because you're building things like your positioning statement, you're building your website, putting all of that together. Sometimes it's nice to go back and take another look. Oh, great. Nadine, that would be awesome. Website for review by the next call. That's a nice deadline, a couple of weeks out, gives you a couple of weeks to work on it. So I'll look forward to seeing that. Awesome. Well, if either of you don't have any further questions, I am going to wrap us up for today. I appreciate your participation. Thank you so much. If you have questions, anything comes up between these calls, please jump on Facebook and go and post your questions there. If it's something that you want Ed and I to take a look at, post it in the Q&A thread and we will support you there. So don't let things stand in your way of your progress if you need some support. And some help moving forward to get you to the next module, to get you past a sticking point, please, please, please jump on Facebook and let us know how we can help you. And I'm glad you folks were here. Great to be interacting with you. And I look forward to seeing you on Facebook. Have a great rest of your week. Take care.